from Studio One at the worldwide headquarters of ESPN and from Studio HD in Atlanta, Georgia, this is Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80.
Put my name up in the night!
The NFC Championship game presents another prove-it moment for Brock Purdy. Question is, are we asking the wrong question about what the expectation should be? Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz. Hear me out, HD. This is what I keep hearing. I keep hearing over and over and over again, Brock Purdy has never taken on a defense like the Eagles. He is not used to seeing what the Eagles are going to present him. The Eagles can create all of these sorts of disruptions. They can get after the quarterback. Brock Purdy has never faced anything like this. Is it not fair to say, the Eagles' defense has not been tested by anything, anywhere close to what the 49ers' offense can offer in this matchup?
No, it's fair to say that, but the rebuttal I would have to it is this right here, and I think it's very imperative that San Francisco keep this in mind as well. Brock Purdy can't be in third and seven-plus situations over and over again. I think when he's at his greatest is when they have third and 2-5, third and 2-6, right? Therefore, now you don't have to stand in that pocket for a very, very long time, and when you get to third and seven plus, now you're allowing that defensive line that led the National Football League in sacks, 70 to be exact, have an opportunity to pin their ears back and go get you that much more. So I think when you can stay to manageable third downs, I think that'll help Brock Purdy out a lot.
Well, it's interesting because one of the things that they're going to have to account for is Nick Bosa. Bosa lined up on both sides of the D-line this season. 10 and a half of his 18 and a half sacks came as the right defensive end, right? So obviously that's where he prefers to be. 10 and a half came from right, 7 came from left. So you start thinking about that. Well, the other portion of this is that at some point they have to account for Lane Johnson, right? So they're going to do whatever it takes to keep Nick Bosa away from Lane Johnson to try and keep some sort of the correct matchup for the offense. I went to the Eagles side of this. That's where my mind went. I'm sorry. I totally flipped everything because we were talking about the Eagles defense. I went to the Eagles offense. Look at that. Had the wrong nugget for you, Harry. It happens sometimes. That is going to be a concern for later in the show. But realistically, the pressure numbers that were just on the screen was what had me thinking about it. Like, if you are the 49ers offense, going back to the appropriate portion of this, if you are the 49ers offense, do you not have the weapons between Debo and Christian McCaffrey to be able to work around that? Like, there is some opportunity in pre-snap motion to confuse whatever they're going to try and send pressure-wise to you, right? That will give the 49ers the opportunity to confuse the Eagles' defense.
Correct, but you don't want to be one-dimensional as well if you're the 49ers. Your bread and butter is rushing the football. Everything that you do within the run game, and this is what I've been trying to explain to a lot of people over the last few years, when it has come to a Kyle Shanahan, a Mike Shanahan offense, the baseline of the offense, everything is revolved around the run game. So if the run game is negated and now you're in a pass situation and you're one-dimensional, that's going to favor the Philadelphia Eagles. So you want to remain balanced. Therefore, when you're using your shifts, when you're using your motions, now they got to worry about, is Debo going to get this speed sweep, right? Are they going to motion and give it to George Kittle or Kyle Juszczyk on third and one and fourth and one coming for a trap? So I just think I think the baseline for San Fran is be balanced offensively and understand that everything comes off your run game, because I think once they get pass happy, that's what the Eagles want you to do.
Well, and here's the nugget I was looking for, the pass rush win rate, which is really hard for everyone. Like, can we rename that, somebody? Like, pass rush win rate is hard for me to say. But the pass rush win rate for the Eagles, including the playoffs, they rank first in the NFL, 52%. Sack percentage, they rank first in the NFL. Pressure percentage, they rank sixth in the NFL. Like, this defense just absolutely gets after it. You mentioned speed sweeps, and for anyone that doesn't know what he's talking about, it's when the wide receiver comes in motion, the quarterback takes the snap and immediately sort of hands it to that receiver as he tries to
get
around.
I probably should have said jet sweep.
Well,
jet sweep.
But my question is, can you run jet sweeps against a pass rush that is pushing the pocket backwards? I genuinely don't know.
Well, it's happening quick. And if, San Francisco, if they're using a lot of shifts and motions, in which their offense does on numerous of occasions, Yeah, because sometimes you can probably run that same motion three or four times, and you know the defense may get lazy at times and say, okay, he's just going in motion. And the next thing you know, boom, you know, Brock Purdy has handed the ball off to one of his weapons, and now they're going around the edge.
Well, the sack percentages for both of these teams are absolutely through the roof. And what's hard for me, you know, because I've been really honest with everybody about how difficult this game is for me to predict. And you know me, when it's a tie, the tie goes to the quarterback I prefer. I just can't decide if it's a tie. Like, I love the 49ers in so many ways in this matchup. It is really hard for me to look at it. Like, I wonder if I'm just doubting Brock Purdy and giving Jalen Hurts the benefit of the doubt, which is fair to do, but maybe mm-hmm. not considering the rest of the roster. I genuinely don't know right now.
So are you're leaning towards the 49ers in this matchup?
If it was any other quarterback, I wouldn't even be leaning. I'd be hammering the 49ers. I love.
That's not who I'm taking in this game.
Well,
I'm taking the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's
who I'm taking.
Oh, okay.
Because I think from an offensive standpoint, number one, the quarterback position, I can't ignore what Jalen Hurts has been able to do, rushing the football and throwing the football this year. I can't ignore that. When they're in, you know, negative situations on the offensive side, when they're in 2nd and 14 or 1st and 20 or 2nd and 20, how they don't blink an eye and they're going to pick up first downs over and over again. And I get it. I understand the San Francisco 49ers and their defense is the number one defense coming into this game. But you talk about a guy that's cool, calm, and collected at the quarterback position, but you have all the weapons around you, from offensive line to tight end to wide receivers to running backs. I take my chances with Jalen Hurts in that offense versus the San Francisco 49ers defense. Now, don't get me wrong. Jalen Hurts is going to have to play phenomenal. There's no good he can play good against the number one defense and think they're going to beat the 49ers. No, he has to be amazing in this game.
It comes back to another metric that I thought was really important to me for me with San Francisco. If you look at their yards after contact, all right, on offense, they rank first in the NFL. You make contact with the 49ers, doesn't matter. They're still going to get yards. They are first in the NFL in yards after contact. Defensively, they're first in the NFL for allowing least yards after contact. I think that's so important because of the way Philly's going to run this offense and because of the way Jalen Hurts particularly can get a few extra yards out of basically everything. I'm looking at a really disciplined, really well-coached defense that I believe is going to be able to stop every play at the point of contact. And if that happens, man, now all of a sudden San Francisco's in a really good situation for me. So that's the part of it that I think leans San Francisco for me. I just don't know that we have any proof of concept, something you know I care too much about, on Brock Purdy being able to go out there. And I know he definitely have given him a lot more leverage to win these sorts of football games. But I keep thinking of the Brock Purdy I watched covering him in college and thinking, man, that kid's going to make it to the Super Bowl. Like, that just feels wild to me.
You know what I'm looking forward to in this ball game? Because I've watched a ton of the Philadelphia Eagles film. From an offensive standpoint, I want to see when they go empty, right? When they go empty, but they don't send Devontae Smith to the wide side of the field. They send him to the short side of the field, either with a tight end or with A.J. Brown or a running back, and he lines up in the slot. A lot of teams this season, right, they didn't carry their nickel corner over to the short side of the field. Normally, the nickel corner goes to the wide side of the field. So I've seen Devontae Smith matched up with linebackers a lot, matched up with safeties one-on-one. I want to see, are the San Francisco 49ers, you know, are they going to carry that nickel to the short side of the field with Devontae Smith is lined up in the slot? Or are they going to allow these linebackers and safeties to guard him one-on-one? Because those have been matchups that Jalen Hurts and his offense have been able to exploit versus other teams.
I absolutely love coaching. You know that. And I keep thinking about, to your point, everything that happens pre-snap can cause confusion on the defensive side of the football. And everything that Jalen Hurts is going to be looking for, they'll be looking to create mismatches. I trust D'Amico Ryan so damn much at this point. Just watching him work on the sidelines and the way he communicates to his guys, I trust it. Jalen Hurts just said this morning at his press conference about facing this Niners defense.
You know, they play really hard. They, you know, they have a way of doing what they do. You know, they and I think they're coached well. They have great players. You know, I think for us, we just have to execute. That can come from just trying to control the things we can, but we know we have really good players that we're about to go against, so it'll be a challenge.
I'm not sure he said much there, Harry, but I'm not sure he can say. Like, there's not a lot he can say in this. It becomes really interesting to me because these two teams are about everything but the quarterback for their greatness, not taking anything away from Jalen Hurts. It'll be interesting because this will be a defining moment. Either Jalen Hurts is about to leapfrog into the absolute upper echelon, or Brock Purdy is going to reach a point where he cannot be denied and must be taken seriously. It's crazy to think how much we'll put on that one position, but as we've been telling you for the last 10 minutes, how much every other position on the field will actually impact the way that comes down, which leads me to checklist time. We're going to go through the NFC Championship game, and we're going to figure out who's better at all of the important spots in this, maybe even make a pick for you. That's coming up next. Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
I think the Eagles have a better unit offensively.
Hurts keeps fighting for the end zone. What a run!
The Niners are clearly the best defense left in this thing.
Hit from behind, Bosa takes him down for the sack.
Joe Burrow, I think this guy's got what it takes to win multiple championships.
Wide open is Ja'Marr Chase! Forget about it!
At any moment, one play can end your season or keep it going.
Mahomes, end zone. He's got another.
Patrick still does stuff that you just can't comprehend.
Fitz and Harry's presented by Progressive Insurance. Get a business insurance quote online in as little as 6 minutes. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz. We're on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. All right, that music can only mean, well, like a million things, because we play it all the time when we do NFL things, because it makes all my no-no places say yes, yes. But Harry, it's checklist time. You ready for this?
Oh, let's do this.
All right, so we're going to go through the NFC and AFC championships games. We shall start with this one.
The San Francisco 49ers at the Philadelphia Eagles.
I got a list, and we're going to go down. We're going to start. These will be ranked. Quarterback, skill position, and defense, and coaching. Those are the things we're going to qualify. So let's start. You got to check this or that. Quarterback position in the NFC Championship game. Who you got, Jalen Hurts or Brock Purdy?
Oh, this is easy for me. I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts. How he's been able to play this season has been phenomenal. MVP caliber until he got hurt. I wish that would have never happened because he had a chance to actually win the MVP, but I'm going Jalen Hurts.
It wasn't that long ago we weren't sure if Jalen Hurts was the answer. And as has been pointed out by Evan and Devin that do great work on this show every single day, we've never seen Jalen Hurts at this platform either. We have no idea what he will do in this game. That being said, I'm still taking him over Brock Purdy. We agree. So the checklist so far, we are on the same page. Now, we go to skill position. Eagles or 49ers? This one, this one's tough.
Oh, don't do this to me, man.
Well, let me make a case. While you're making a decision, let me make a case. Yep. Is there any team in the entire NFL that has two better positionless players than Debo and Christian McCaffrey?
No.
See? I guess to me, like, I'm not just looking at Christian McCaffrey, the running back, or Debo Samuel, the wide receiver. I'm looking at two guys that are basically whatever they need to be in every position, in every formation, in every possible down and distance. Like, you
and
never know what
you're doing. Quarterback doesn't play a factor in this at all.
No, quarterback
right?
is not a factor at all. We are just talking about the skill positions.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go San Francisco 49ers. But here's a major chess piece. Why?
Okay.
Kyle Juszczyk is thrown into that equation as well.
You are so
Kyle
right.
Kyle Juszczyk. And you have George Kittle and all the other guys, but Kyle Juszczyk is a major chess piece.
Yeah, Juszczyk, I said it the other day, there are only a few teams that really use the fullback. 49ers are one of them, and because of his athleticism, he is a dangerous weapon for San Francisco. Okay, so far, we have the quarterbacks going advantage Eagles. We have skill position going advantage San Francisco. What about the defense? You got two defenses we've been talking a lot about, two defenses that can absolutely destroy quarterbacks, two defenses that know how to force turnovers, and two defenses that are incredibly well coached. Who you got, HD?
Surprisingly, I am going to pick the Eagles defense.
Oh,
and I'm going to pick them because of their two secondary guys in Bradberry and Darius Slay. Two lockdown corners, guys who played the best as a tandem in the National Football League this season. So that's why I'm going with the Eagles.
Yeah, and when you factor, I really hadn't, you know, because I'm such a master of the moment, right? Like, I kept thinking about pass rush, and the pass rush, as we were just talking about, is just unstoppably good for both teams, but a little advantage to the Eagles. I wasn't thinking as much about that. I'm with you. All right, I'm good with that. I think we're on the same page. The show is agreeing on everything. By the way, great nugget here. The 49ers are 15-0 when winning or tying the turnover battle. They are 0-4 when losing the turnover battle. So defense is going to mean a lot in this. Now, what about coaching? Nick Sirianni, somebody that early on for like three games, everybody's like, he's a moron. He doesn't know what he's doing. And all of a sudden, everybody now is like, oh, wait, I never doubted him. He's spectacular versus Kyle Shanahan, who is talked about like he is basically the right-hand man of God.
I'm gonna go Kyle Shanahan because he came out the womb, you know, drinking breast milk, thinking about coaching at some point. So I'm going to go with Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, it's hard for me. I keep going back to the things I can see. What can I tell you about coaching that you don't know, Harry Douglas? Absolutely nothing.
And shout out to all the mothers out there that breastfeed.
I've really got nothing to say to that.
No, I will just want to give them a shout out.
Yeah, perfect.
I'm going to praise everybody, man.
100. You know what?
They do great things.
Breastfeeding moms, go ahead and call on it.
Say yes. I want to hear from them. I admire them.
Oh, God. I'm going to take Shanahan here just to get us moving on to the next game.
I mean,
quickly.
I got breastfed as a kid.
The Cincinnati Bengals at the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, God. Patrick Mahomes versus Joe Burrow. And I'm sure there's a breastfed comment here, but we're going to try to keep moving
I'm going to go the quarterback in this matchup. I'm going to go with Joe Burrow. It's not by surprise the last three times that these two teams have played that Joe Burrow's 3-0. And we just talked about it earlier, how Joe Burrow in the fourth quarter in overtime has been able to step up and how Patrick Mahomes has not. So I'm going to go with Joe Burrow.
You know what? I'm going Joe Burrow anyway. I've been telling you that.
I got to get these moms out here some love, man. These moms need love too.
Oh, my God. Oh, anything to change it. Like, somebody tweet me at Jason Fitz how I can change the subject as quickly as possible. Skill positions.
Skill position group. I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals. We all know with T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd. But then you look in that backfield, and you have those running backs. And then you have Hayden Hurst at the tight end position. So I'm going to go skill position group in this game. Cincinnati Bengals.
There's no better skill position group in the entire NFL than the Cincinnati Bengals. That's fact. Don't at me. I'm taking the Bengals on this one. So far, I've gone quarterback. I've gone skill position. Look at me. I'm right back at professional. Who knew it could happen? Defense is in this one. Chiefs or Bengals?
I'm going to go Bengals because, for me, it's defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo versus Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs. And I think over the years, we have seen Lou Anarumo being able to, you know, negate what you know, great quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, what they've been able to do. So I'm going to go with the Bengals in this one.
Yeah, and we saw some of this last year in the playoff run, right? Yep, Hendrickson went off on the playoff run, and Bates went off the playoff run, and everybody's like, going to have to pay these guys.
It's a different guy just about every time.
Yeah.
But that also speaks a volume to these guys and how dialed in they are, too.
Yeah, 100% I'm with you. I'm going to take the Bengals on that. As great as Chris Jones. Chris Jones might be the best individual defensive player in this game, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, again, that's going to be interesting to see how the Bengals try and fix that. Notice we didn't talk about offensive line here, so Cincinnati fans are happy. Coaching, Andy Reid, we going with the Kool-Aid man or we going with Zach Taylor?
I'm going with Big Red, baby. Andy Reid's been doing it for a long time. The way he was with the Philadelphia Eagles, now the Kansas City Chiefs, he's phenomenal. He's a mastermind. I'm going with Big Red.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question here. You know, in my mind, Andy Reid is still the best coach in the NFL, and all he does is consistently put his team in the situation to be successful. So the fact that they've been able to hang on to Eric Bieniemy as long as they have, their offensive coaching staff particularly is a delight. I know you have some questions about their defensive coaching at times, but when it comes to head coach Andy Reid, he's beyond reproach to me. He's absolutely incredible coach. Tune into college basketball action tomorrow. Oklahoma hosts Alabama. Coverage begins 1:30 p.m. Eastern on select ESPN radio stations. You don't want to miss that one. All right, we're going to tell you why. For one NFL coach,
hasn't really been about sustaining success for us. It's just about how do we win the next game, and next thing you know, you've won 10. Then you just focus on the next one. You try to be 1-0 the next week.
Touchdown on a perfect throw for Joe Burrow.
When I look at Joe Burrow,
He has the charisma of Namath. And if he doesn't remind you of Tom Brady, I went against Tom Brady 100 times, got beat on it, 99. That's who that sucker reminds me of.
All eyes continue to be on championship weekend. And in about 15 minutes, we will get you our one definitive statement from each of us on one thing we are sure of for this weekend. You'll also get to chime in, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But HD, Harry Douglas, I'm Jason Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio. I'm going to toot my own horn. Toot, toot.
Did you know that song that was just playing coming in?
No, what was just playing? I wasn't even paying attention to it. What was it playing? What
wow.
Was it? I wasn't. I was thinking about the segment. Nope. What is it?
I'm in love with the Coco. I'm in love with the Coco. Come on, Fitz, man. See?
It's for the culture.
I got to get you down here to Atlanta fast, in a hurry, man.
I'm telling you.
I have to.
I hang out with you in Atlanta. I'm just not allowed to sing any songs that are ever played in your car.
And tonight is a night that we're going to be hanging out. You know, my brother's in town, my best friend, and so tonight would have been a perfect night for you to be right here in Atlanta.
It would have been a nice night for you to be up in Connecticut. Also, tomorrow I'll be hanging out with Chris Young. He's playing up in Connecticut. We could have taken you to a good old country and western concert. And then,
I got stuff to do here tonight, man. I couldn't be up in Connecticut.
Harry, it's not too late, man. Send the PJ for all three of us. We'll come down. We'll come down for the night, and then we'll come back for tomorrow.
Facts.
Fitz can go to the Chris Young concert.
Let me see if my pilot is available. He might be on another trip.
he's bringing, you know, Harry's got much more famous friends than us, right? So, like, that's, by the way, Chris Young has a song called Famous Friends. Love the plugs. Part of the reason, by the way, I want to give you a massive shout out. The human being, the individual, the guy that I get to work with every day, and the close friend, Harry Douglas. The reason that you've got a lot going on in Atlanta tonight is because the gym that you grew up playing in high school is being renamed for you and your brother, which is in Jonesboro, which is Georgia, which is an incredible, incredible accomplishment for you and for your brother, Tony. I am so proud of you, the human being, but also it speaks to what difference you guys have made in the lives of a lot of people. I hope you treasure every second of it, man. But this entire show staff looks at that and we're like, man, that speaks to not just the athlete, but Harry Douglas, the human being.
And I'll be honest, I'll say this, man. First, I thank my parents for being able to be in all of our lives and giving us that balance and structure and the discipline that we needed growing up. But also, you know, everyone loves sports and, you know, what people are able to accomplish. And me and my brother did, we accomplished a lot of things at Jonesboro High School. Yes, we did. But I think the most important thing that we never did, him playing in the NBA for numerous of years and me playing in the NFL, we never forgot where we came from. And we always gave back to that community, along with my mom and dad and my sister. And that's the most, I think, important thing in this whole piece, is that we're not just being honored because of our play on a basketball court, but what we do in the community in Jonesboro, Georgia, and Clayton County. And I always tell those folks down there, man, listen, we got your back no matter what. The Douglas family going to always have your back on the South Side.
Question, will there be fathead versions of both of your faces put it at center court? Has that been considered
Oh, my God, you're just crazy. They're going to put the Douglas Brothers court on both sides, and then outside of the gym, Douglas Brothers Gymnasium. Yep, so it's huge, man.
Will there be any fat heads anywhere? I mean, like,
probably some people holding up. People used to hold them up, like, when we were playing basketball back in the day.
Y'all are good-looking guys. Like, I would think you'd want big, huge cartoon versions of your faces somewhere around the court. Like, I'm just saying, if you need help with that, call me. I got you. I'm here to help make sure that the decor is always
right. Let people know, yeah, I was like that on that court now. I'm telling you, I was like that, bro.
Follow Harry like on social media across the board, at HDouglas83. We'll be also putting some stuff out on ESPN Radio for tonight's event. So proud of you, dude. And this whole staff knows why this is happening. It's happening because you and your brother both are amazing individuals. So really proud of you guys. There's been a real conversation on this show about coaching, right? And as we look at the NFL coaching carousel, some news came out yesterday. That news came out after we got a little bit of tidbit of news from the great Adam Schefter. He said this yesterday when I specifically asked him about what the hire of Frank Reich for the Panthers meant about Sean Payton's future as a coach this year in the NFL.
I think right now it doesn't look like there's going to be a spot for Sean Payton. That's the way it's kind of looking as we speak. Now, we'll see how it shakes out, but Sean Payton, if he doesn't get one now, next year there's going to be 7, 8, 9, 10 openings. He'll be under consideration for many of them. I just don't see him rushing to take the job in Arizona with a GM he doesn't know, with a quarterback there are questions about, with a team that's got a lot of issues. So my guess is he sits out and rejoins the search when there are more teams that have openings.
Harry, a little bit of a sort of a breaking development in that came yesterday in the form of defensive coordinator Dan Quinn telling teams he doesn't want to be a head coach. He wants to run it back, right? So this is a big statement by Dan Quinn to say, I'm coming back for unfinished business with the Cowboys, which leads everybody to the indication that we're still going to have Mike McCarthy next year as a head coach there.
Yeah, it does. And I think when you look at a guy like Dan Quinn, and when he took over that defense 2 years ago, that defense was horrendous. And how he's been able to elevate those guys and put the players in positions to be successful to the point to where we, you know, classify that defense as being a damn good one in the NFL. I also looked at this and I talked to another guy that I have a great deal of admiration for, Sean Thompson. He was one of my bosses when I worked at 92.9 The Game here in Atlanta. He's in Arizona now. We talked on the phone yesterday about the entire situation. And I said to myself, is this Dan Quinn also, though, waiting in the wings, possibly if Mike McCarthy does get let go and they don't want to go to Sean Payton route and they have a guy in Dan Quinn sitting right there to become the head coach as well?
How did I not think of this? Like, that is, oh, my God. Like, here I am just sitting there saying Dan Quinn's coming back. Means the staff stayed together. Oh, my God. This is the Jason Garrett thing all over again. Right? Like, you bring somebody, you leave somebody on staff that could take that job over. Oh, that is sensually put together by you. Like, I just never would have thought of that. And it makes so much sense for Dan Quinn, particularly because he's in the building. He knows ownership. He knows everything that will be expected. He knows the culture. He knows the players. Like, anytime that you could have that opportunity to stick around, boy, that makes a lot of sense.
And I literally made the phone call yesterday. I was going to pick up my kids to try to see and get information on Dan Quinn in the interview process and how close was he to getting the job. But then the news had came out that he said he wasn't going to take the job. And I immediately said to my guy, Sean, I was like, is there a possibility that Dan Quinn, if Mike McCarthy doesn't do what he's supposed to do next year and Jerry Jones wants to go in another direction, Dan Quinn can become the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys? Because you already know the players admire him there and what he's been able to do. And I know he has those player relationships as well.
It makes so much sense. And also, this is the biggest thing I got to stress. All of this movement that a lot of people predicted, and I smartly, very loudly, have been saying for months was not going to happen. I've been saying for months Sean Payton would be back at Fox. For months on radio, I've been saying this. But you know what? It makes sense for Sean Payton. We'll tell you why in just a minute. Why Sean Payton not returning to the NFL this year actually is a brilliant move. And one thing each of us is absolutely 100% sure about for this weekend's games. We'll do that next. Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio.
Fitz and Harry, the podcast. Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio.
Hanging out with Louisville Hall of Famer Harry Douglas.
Say it one more time again.
Louisville Hall of Famer Harry Douglas.
My bad, Evan.
I'm just putting some respect. I'm not doing this right, Harry. I'm just putting some respect on your name.
Oh, you got to use a K. Respect.
That's what I did. Respect. The respect.
With some respect.
I don't know why it doesn't work right for me, but, you know, I'm going to keep trying. Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Harry Douglas, Jason Fitz. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. We were just talking about Sean Payton, the fact that he may not coach anywhere this year at this point. May just go back to Fox, which I've been predicting for a long time. But as we got to thinking about it, Harry, part of the reason I think that could make sense is there are some big teams that could have big openings next year. Like, when you look at the Chargers, for example, a team that we thought might be in the sweepstakes this year, well, they went to the playoffs, so maybe they run it back. Obviously, it looks like at this point like they're probably going to run it back with Brandon Staley. That doesn't mean that he'll be around next year. I mean, the Chargers could be a very appealing job next year for Sean Payton.
And we have to remember, right, according to a source, the Ducks are trying to be put in a row, right? The Ducks are trying to be put into a row, but I think Sean Payton would be phenomenal for this team, and I thought it was, had a possibility of being this season, but I understand there's a lot of ramifications, a lot of ins and outs and things that have to go down in order for Sean Payton to be able to get that job. But if Brandon Staley doesn't have the success, you know, next year with the with Justin Herbert as the quarterback, and those guys can't make the playoffs, but then they if they do make the playoffs, if they blow another 27-0 lead, in which I don't know how they did it the first time and how you, it can probably happen a second time, but I will put nothing off the table when it comes to Brandon Staley and being led by him. So, quite frankly, I think he'll be gone, and then that will open up another job in Los Angeles.
A job that could be better than any of the jobs he's – I mean, that that could be much better than the Cardinals' job, for example, or the Panthers' job.
Look at all the guys that they brought over on defense and free agency and that they already have, and you look at a guy in Justin Herbert who was the prototypical-looking quarterback and a guy that can do it with his arm, just need to be, needs to be a little bit more balanced from an offensive standpoint in my eyes for the Chargers.
I can see the Commanders having an opening. I'm not sure I could see why Sean Payton would necessarily want to go to an organization that seems to be in flux right now, so I'll throw their name out there, but maybe not as a great landing spot. The Cowboys, we just talked about. I mean, the Cowboys may not have that opening right now as they try running back, but that doesn't mean they won't in a year. So there's no harm for Sean Payton waiting a year to see what happens there. What about my beloved Raiders? Think about this. Josh McDaniels, we don't know what, I don't think he survives another season where they only win six games. So we know that Mark Davis is not afraid to spend whatever it takes to get big names there. He wants huge superstars to be, I mean, you're not even just talking about Gruden or even Josh McDaniels. Look at, he bought the Aces. The first thing he did was fired the coach and then hired Becky Hammon. My guy likes famous coaches, right? So I think Peyton to the Raiders would be something that makes sense if Josh McDaniels can't turn things
around.
And
I wanted to ask you this though, Fitz, because you're a huge Raiders fan. What would make Josh McDaniels not be the coach the following year for the Raiders?
Another 6-11 year. I think, you know.
So it's not, he cannot make the playoffs and still be the coach the following year?
Yeah, I think that as long as they show improvement, especially because I still think that the Raiders, this is not necessarily a popular opinion yet, I think the Raiders are going to draft a quarterback, which is going to give them the, if they don't win a ton of games.
A developmental role.
Yeah, it's going to be, does this quarterback look like he's growing into the future? I think that's how Josh McDaniels also sells staying around for extra time. So I don't
But I will say this though. When you look at a guy like Josh McDaniels and what he wasn't able to do in Denver when he was the head coach, you don't think that plays a part into, you know, the owner's mind?
It should, right? Like, that's the interesting thing. I mean, what did we see this year? We saw five first-year head coaches go to the playoffs, and then we saw other first head coaches like Hackett get fired before they even saw the end of the first season. I think, you know, faster than ever, the Raiders had a really weird year where they lost a lot of games teams usually win. I don't think Mark Davis is going to be patient through another one of those. What about the Browns for Sean Payton in a year? I mean, Deshaun under contract, you'll have a quarterback that you know can be, all other things aside, can be one of the best in the NFL. It feels like there's some talent there. That could be a good spot for him.
I really like this move for Sean Payton if it opens up and, you know, he's excited about it, because you look at the quarterback position and Deshaun Watson, who was able to get a little bit of the rust off of him this season, coming back and playing late in the year. Now he's going to be able to have a full off season where he can focus on football. But also, you know, when you have a play caller and a guy that can, you know, put guys in positions to be successful, I look at the run game, I look at the offensive line, you're going to have Amari Cooper, you possibly add more wide receivers to the roster, you're going to have Njoku, a tight end that you like. So I like this move for the Cleveland Browns, because I know how balanced Sean Payton wants to be on offense, and I know that because I played against him so many times in New Orleans, and when he was in New Orleans, and our players on our defense talk about how many times they like to, you know, sub in and out personnel groupings and do a lot of shifts and motioning and put a lot of stress on defenses in doing that. So I think him in Cleveland would make a lot of sense to me.
What about the Packers? I mean, for all the conversation about where they are right now, the Packers are a historic franchise that's been good for a really long time. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it's going to look like. If they go to Jordan Love, things could totally fall apart. We have no idea. Or if they keep Aaron Rodgers and he's not any good, things could totally fall apart. The Packers could be looking for a coach, and Sean Payton would certainly love to be with an organization that has that level of status, right?
Yeah, I think Matt LaFleur is on the watch, right? I think he's going to be watched very closely this season. Last year was the first year he actually had to coach. Not saying he didn't coach beforehand, but it's a big difference when you have the pairing of Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers to deal with. And a lot of those, and a lot of times those guys are going out there making plays and balling and, you know, covering up a lot of deficiencies. We've seen most of those deficiencies this past season. And Matt LaFleur didn't live up to the bill in coaching those guys up the proper way. And yes, Christian Watson started to come on later and Romeo Doubs as well. And they didn't have a lot of time together. But going into next year, if we see the same things go on in Green Bay that we've seen this year, a lot of questions are going to be raised about Matt LaFleur. And can he get it done as a coach, as a teacher, when it comes to young guys?
What about the Rams? And, you know, this only comes because I feel like every year now we're in the annual Sean McVay watch, right? Like, correct. Is Sean going to decide this is where he wants to go to doing TV? Like, there's this funny moment in my mind where Sean McVay and Sean Payton essentially just switch roles.
I don't necessarily see this happening.
Okay.
And I understand he has a place out there in L.A., but just looking at the Rams and looking at their draft pick situation and, you know, their cap and that whole nine, I don't see things happening because it's a great chance that Aaron Donald's not going to be there. Jalen Ramsey's not going to be there. Cooper Kupp is probably going to be there. I don't know if Matthew Stafford's going to be there. We don't know if he's still going to be playing as well. So there's a lot of question marks when it comes to the Rams organization, when it player-wise, personnel-wise. So I don't know if he would do that.
Yeah, I think you're right, too, because part of the reason that McVay may want to walk away is because it's a dumpster fire moving mm-hmm. forward. Why would Peyton want to take over a dumpster fire? And I got to say this loudly. He does have a house in L.A. Sean Payton has a house in L.A. When you're rich, you can have houses wherever you want. We do this every time. Like, we do this all the time. It's like, well, he's out looking at schools in Florida. Or he's got a house in Miami. And this guy has a house in L.A. Of course, when you are rich, you buy real estate because real estate is a really good investment. And over time, you make money on real estate. So if you like to go places.
Are you secretly shading me? Because I was talking about Tom Brady the other day being at schools. Are you secretly trying to shade me?
I'm very publicly shading you. There's no secret about it. Like, what portion of this is, there's nothing. This is about as blunt as your shout out to breastfeeding moms was like this. We are going straight for
I got
it.
Amazing love for all the breastfeeding moms out there. Trust me, I got amazing love. And you know, there are women who aren't able to breastfeed as well. I still have love for them too, but I know how hard it is to get that baby to latch on. Trust me, my kids tried to latch on to me when they were little. I was like, I'm not your mother.
I'm so uncomfortable. I can't wait to talk about football again. We're going to do it in a second. Fitz and Harry.